Can you talk a little bit more about the data that we have with these newer FLT3 inhibitors, particularly gilteritinib?
Sure. Gilteritinib is a drug that, again, is a more selective and more potent FLT3 inhibitor. It's not approved for frontline therapy, but it is approved in the relapse refractory setting. It's approved based on results that have been released from a phase 3 study that's not yet published yet, so we're looking forward to that. I was the lead investigator on that trial, so I presented these data at AACR this past year. And that study used gilteritinib versus investigator's choice of one of four options as first salvage for patients with primary refractory disease or relapsed FLT3 mutated AML, with the FLT3 mutation documented at the time of refractoriness or first relapse. So they could not have had prior salvage to go on this study. And what the study showed was that the vast majority of these patients, more than 80%, had had prior intensive therapy, although that was not required, again, to allow people who'd had venetoclax, azacitidine, or other low-intensity therapies with a goal of remission to go on the study, that the response rates were higher in the gilteritinib arm, actually substantially higher in the gilteritinib arm. And not only was there higher response rates, but that translated into a better survival. So the median overall survival in the gilteritinib arm was 9.3 months, and the chemotherapy arm was 5.6 months. And this was true whether patients received intensive chemotherapy or low-intensity chemotherapy. So there was a benefit no matter which choice of pre-randomization chemotherapy was selected for the patient. And in the intensive arm, that included, you know, standard salvage regimens like FLAG-IDA or MEC, which are what we would say are our standard approaches to try to get patients who are, in this setting, hopefully being treated with curative intent with a goal of going into a second remission, going to transplant, and seeing long-term benefit. We don't see good response rates to standard chemotherapy. We see better response rates to a single-agent FLT3 inhibitor. And the other area where it looked better was in terms of toxicity. It's a much easier drug to tolerate. We don't see serious toxicity that requires inpatient hospitalization. The majority of the therapy given to patients on the gilteritinib arm was done in the outpatient setting. It's not to say the drug has no side effects. The main side effects we saw were cytopenias. Cytopenias are very common with the drug and mostly seen on the first cycle, but there are responding patients who have ongoing transfusion needs, and I don't use that as a factor to determine transplant candidacy or not. If somebody has cleared their marrow blasts of their disease, then we take them on to transplant. But one other thing the study allowed was once they go to transplant, they can get the FLT3 inhibitor after transplant, and that's something I encourage my patients to do. Knowing that even if we do a transplant in second remission, relapse rates are very high for these patients. One challenge in this study is that if we look at the overall survival for this study, while the median survival was better, the overall survival for the study in either arm was still low. This is a really high-risk population, and while I really think gilteritinib is the right answer in this setting, we've not yet transformed relapsed and refractory AML into a kinder, gentler leukemia in any way. This is still a really bad disease. The vast majority of these patients die of leukemia. We need better therapy. So again, that behooves us to find the right frontline therapy and to say, if we're giving drugs like gilteritinib in the relapsed refractory setting, wouldn't that improve outcome frontline? And we're doing the studies to test that, both in frontline therapy and also for patients who go on to transplant to see if maintenance therapy after transplant would improve outcome. And there are interesting data that came out in the past year that suggests that's the case. A study adding sorafenib, which is not approved as a leukemia agent but does inhibit FLT3, adding that after transplant improved survival on a randomized phase 2 study done in Germany compared to placebo. So at least it tells us that we're barking up the right tree here. The caveat before we can say that's the right answer and everybody should just get sorafenib is that that study enrolled patients after transplant, not at diagnosis or not pre-transplant. And it included patients that were not in remission at the time of transplant. So it's a broader group than what we'd like for a perfect assessment here. I think if you're including patients who have relapsed refractory disease, that kind of errs on the side of something I would do anyway as standard. But for a patient in first remission, we really want to know, is there a benefit? Knowing that the outcome from the RATIFY study showed that comparing midostaurin frontline therapy to placebo frontline therapy, if you look at the patients that went to transplant in first remission, the transplanted patients who got no further midostaurin still had better survival, suggesting they're getting a deeper or better quality remission when you add the FLT3 inhibitor to 7 and 3, and that may actually be all that you need.